All right, then we are slowly coming to the end of our series on spiritual warfare. I plan on one or two more sermons on this topic before we then move on to something else. But before we get into today's message, I want to just remind us all of what we talked about the last 2 weeks with Claire and then also last Sunday. This church is really under a lot of spiritual warfare right now. And I'm absolutely convinced my condition today is part of that once again. God wants to do something new. It's a new season, it's a new beginning, and God wants to pour out a new blessing on all of us. And we have to cooperate, we have to do our part, otherwise we'll just miss out on God's blessing, and 6 months, a year from now, we will still look the same. So once again, I want to remind everyone, seek God about these questions. Is Aletheia the local church God calls Moody to be part of in this season? And what concrete action should I do to reaffirm my commitment to my local church, and what should my relationship with my local church look like? Now, we won't have a discussion today as a big group. We won't do soaking today. We do talk about it in a small group regularly, but I do want to keep these questions in front of us, and I do want to remind everyone to really seek God, and once we all have answers, then we can talk with each other about what the next steps are. We are the body of Christ. We are members of that body. And one of the things that I just noticed again yesterday, how easy it is for us, or how quickly it is when one body part doesn't do its part, for everything to fall apart. Yesterday, I felt so unsafe. I felt so insecure simply because I couldn't hear well. And when I was outside, I realized I so depend on my hearing. I so depend on these little things, crossing the street, hearing whether there are cars, whether there are bikes nearby and everything. And the moment I didn't hear well, suddenly my whole life was affected. My whole body couldn't function properly. And this is us as well. Everybody needs to make a contribution. And everybody needs to do his or her part, otherwise this church cannot function well. Some of us might be the ear, some of us might be the hand, might be the legs, whatever that means, but everybody has a part to play, everybody is a body part. And if that body part doesn't function, then we as a church cannot function either. So that's just a reminder that we really need to take this seriously, and we really need to seek God. If this is the local church that he wants us to be part of, and if yes, what role he wants us to play. All right, so that was the reminder on last week. Now let's go back to our series on spiritual warfare. Quick summary, Jesus and Satan have different plans for our lives. Jesus wants us to have a life of love, fulfillment, purpose, and joy, and ultimately, of course, spend eternity with him in God's kingdom. Satan, on the other hand, he wants us to live a life of hatred, despair, loneliness, emptiness, turmoil, and ultimately spend eternity with Satan, apart from God, in hell. And our actions, day by day, strengthen one or the other, every single time. The good news is Satan lost his power. Jesus won all authority when he died, when he rose again. So Satan has been disarmed. He has no authority over us as Christians any longer. But what he still does is he can lie to us, tempt us, he can try to distract us so that we choose to go against God's plans. We talked about practical topics. Satan tries to steal our time. We do have limited time on this earth. God wants us to make the most of it, not to enjoy this life mainly, but to make an impact on eternal life. So Satan is trying to steal our time. We have to be diligent to guard our time because it's limited. And then we spend a whole Sunday talking about our small smartphones, how they affect us, and how we need to be careful because Satan is putting a lot of stuff into our smartphones to steal our time. Then we looked at the topic of fear. Satan tries to give us fear so that we don't follow God's plan. If God tells us to do something that looks risky, if God tells us to do something that maybe doesn't make sense to us, Satan is always there and tells us, what if? He gives us fear so that we stop following God's plan and we miss out on God's blessing. So that's what we covered so far. Today, we go more general. Last time we talked about fear, but today I want to talk in more general terms about our emotions and how our emotions are related to this topic of spiritual warfare. We all have them. We all have emotions, and we all feel emotions. Some people are generally more emotional than others and express their emotions more. Some people are, in general, a bit more reserved. I would put myself in that category as well. And then we have different seasons. There are seasons when we feel more emotional for various reasons, and then there are seasons when we feel less emotional. But we are all dealing with them every day, every moment. You have emotions, I have emotions, we all do. Our emotions play a crucial part in the area of spiritual warfare. And that's what I want to look at today. But before we connect our emotions and spiritual warfare, we need to cover some foundations. Because if we don't understand these foundations, then we easily get confused. First foundation, God has emotions. All kinds of emotions. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. God loves. Judges 2, 18. For the Lord had compassion because of their groanings, because of them that oppressed them and vexed them. God has love, God has compassion. Deuteronomy 9:22, and the Taberah, and the Mesa, and Kibroth, you can read it. You provoked the Lord to wrath. God is angry. God has wrath in him. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty, he will save, he will rejoice over you with joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. There is joy in God. Isaiah 1:14. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary of bearing them. There is hatred in God. Hatred is not a bad thing, not in itself. So we see love, compassion, wrath, joy, hatred. These are all emotions that God feels. What about Jesus? John 11:35. Jesus wept. He was sad. Luke 19:41. When he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Once again, he is sad. Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Jesus rejoiced. He's happy. John 11:15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus is glad. Jesus, like any human being, had all kinds of emotional reactions. Any emotions that you ever feel, that you ever experience, Jesus experienced it as well. He is no stranger to emotions. He knows what it's like. He lived as a human being, experiencing the same emotions that you go through, that I go through. God has emotions, and we are made in God's image. And since we are made in God's image, God also gives us the ability to experience the same emotions that God has within himself. Emotions are a good thing. Next basics. Emotions are very, very real. Ephesians 4, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What is Paul saying here? He is encouraging us. And he is saying, I want you to be angry. Now, this is not a commandment to say be angry all the time. But he is saying, at the appropriate time, be angry. Anger is not a bad thing. Sometimes I think we have the habit in the church to say, don't show emotions, or don't show bad emotions. Don't hate. Don't be angry. Don't be upset. Don't be jealous. These kind of things. These are bad emotions, so you should not feel them. And if they come up, then you should immediately quench them and say, okay, these are bad emotions. I don't want to think about it. Just ignore these emotions. Sometimes we have that tendency, and we even say something like this to each other. But Paul here tells us the opposite. He is telling us, when you feel these emotions, focus on them. Don't ignore them. Don't suppress them. Be realistic. And if you have these emotions, let them surface and deal with them. Deal with your anger. Don't hide it. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend it's not there. Deal with it. At the same time, he's also giving us a warning. Deal with your anger, but do not sin. Why? Because he knows when we are angry, we have a tendency to sin. When we are emotional, especially the so-called bad emotions, I'll get there in a second, there are no bad emotions, but especially when we have these kind of so-called bad emotions, then we have a tendency to respond with sin. When we are angry, we do something sinful. When we hate, we tend to do something sinful. When we are jealous, we tend to do something sinful. So Paul is saying, there is a tendency that when you have these emotions, that you then cross the line of sin. So don't do that. But don't suppress your emotions. Be real. Deal with your anger. Just don't cross the line to sin. So in this passage, Paul is talking about anger. But of course, this applies to all kinds of emotions. When we're happy, focus on your happiness. When you're sad, focus on your sadness. When we feel confused, focus on your confusion. When we hate something, focus on your hatred. When we love something, focus on your love. Emotions are real. And when we feel these emotions, we should really allow them to surface and we should deal with them. How we do that, I'll get back there in a minute. Next foundation, I already mentioned this. There are no good emotions and bad emotions. We tend to think that there are good emotions, like love, excitement, satisfaction, enjoyment. And that's a good thing. And so they must come from God. They must be something good. But then there are certain emotions that we don't like, and then we call them bad emotions. Oh, hatred, fear, guilt, boredom, these kind of things. So those are bad emotions. I don't want to feel them, so I don't want to have anything to do with them. We tend to put our emotions in one of these two categories. And then to think, everything that I like must be from God, and everything that I don't like must be from Satan. But that's simply not true. We just read some verses where we saw God hates. God is jealous. These are all emotions that come from God himself. And if God has all these emotions and God is perfect, then the emotions that he allows us to experience are not bad in themselves. There is no such thing as a bad emotion. There is no such thing as a good emotion. Emotions simply are. We experience them. And emotions in themselves are not good. They are not bad. We simply go through them. What does matter is, what do we do with our emotions? What do we do when we love something? What do we do when we hate something? What do we do when we feel jealous? What do we do when we feel confused? What do we do? How do we respond to the feeling these emotions? That's what matters. Not the emotions themselves, they just are, but what we do with them. So emotions are neither good nor bad. But what we have to understand is our emotions tell us something. Our emotions speak to us. Our emotions are telling us to either pursue something or to stop pursuing something. Our emotions tell us what is valuable to us. Our emotions tell us what is important to us. Our emotions tell us to do something. Our emotions tell us to stop doing something. And this is exactly where Satan is coming in, where we now go back to our series on spiritual warfare. Emotions are real. Emotions are not good, not bad. They just are. But our emotions try to tell us to act. And this is where Satan is coming in. Because Satan is trying to speak to us through our emotions. And most of the time, what Satan is trying to tell us through our emotions is a lie. We tend to pursue emotions we like. When we love something, when we enjoy something, then we tend to pursue those things. And we think that because I enjoy it, that must mean that God is telling me to go for it. But that's not always true. Let's say I watch TV, I feel happy, so I want to watch more TV. Nothing wrong with watching TV. But if I'm watching the whole day, and I don't have time for my family, I don't have time for God, I don't have time for my job, then something is off. So my emotions tell me to pursue more TV, but it's a lie. It's something that Satan is using to distract us, to steal our time. Maybe I enjoy sports, so I want to play more sports. Nothing wrong with that, but in balance with other things. And we will have the tendency to pursue these things that we enjoy more and more until something falls off our schedule and something more important gets squeezed out of our schedule. Maybe we say shopping makes me happy. And so we want to shop more and more and spend whole days in shopping mall and just buy stuff. And in the end we realize, oops, I spent so much money on shopping. I don't have savings, I don't have tithing, it's not in balance. And now I'm just wasting all this money. Why? Because Satan is trying to lie to us and saying, if shopping makes you happy, just go for it. Nothing wrong with shopping, but it has to be in balance. We talked about it in our finance series. It has to be part of our budget and it has to be in balance and cannot just go overboard. Maybe we feel satisfied when we work. So Satan is coming and saying, work more. It's so satisfying, it's so fun. Your family can be without you this evening. Your church can be, you don't have to go to small group this evening, just enjoy your work. And so we put all our energy into work and we neglect the things that are more important. So we have to be careful. These emotions are real, but sometimes Satan is lying to us through these emotions. Let's turn it around. We tend to avoid emotions we don't like. Let's say, I hate my work. So what do my emotions tell me if I hate my work? I'm not going to put effort into it. I'll just do the absolute necessary to not get fired, but my heart isn't in it. What is God telling us? Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. My emotions are lying to me. Like me, I hate shopping malls. I hate closed shops. I hate all these shops. I don't want to put my foot in there. but I still need to take care of myself. And I can't just say like, hey, family, you shop for me or these kind of things. No, I need to be responsible. And even though everything inside of me screams and says, don't go into a clothes shop, it's horrible in there, I still need to go there at times. Why? Because it's part of being responsible and taking care of myself. Let's say I don't like a person in my sports club. I was there for the last 2 years, I had fun, I played volleyball, badminton, whatever you were playing. And then suddenly this new person comes and suddenly the whole dynamics change and suddenly I feel like, oh, I hate this person. What do our emotions tell us? I don't go anymore because of that annoying person. Is that how God wants us to act? No, wherever you go, you will find an annoying person. And the only way to avoid an annoying person is to not relate to anybody. Our emotions are speaking to us. Our emotions are trying to tell us to do something or to not do something. Our emotions are trying to tell us to act. And this is Satan's tactic. He's trying to lie to us through what our emotions are trying to tell us. Satan knows that we are very receptive to listening to our emotions. That's how God made us, and that's not a bad thing in itself. And Satan knows when we feel good, we want more of it. When we feel bad, we want less of it. And so Satan comes when we are emotional, and he's reinforcing those lies that our emotions are trying to tell us. That's his tactic. That's what he's trying to do. Let me give you some more examples. We tend to go after emotions we like. We feel good. We want more of it. How can Satan speak to us? Example, I already mentioned this. I feel satisfied working hard. And that's not a bad thing. God wants us to work hard. But what Satan is then doing, and this is very real for me as a freelancer, with my free schedule and being paid by hour and all these things, I constantly hear this lie, work a bit more. It's fun and you'll make more money. And I constantly need to tell myself, my trust is in Jesus. I don't need to work another hour or 2 hours and make more money because God will provide for me. And yes, it's fun, but I need to set limits. Otherwise, this church will suffer, my family will suffer, people will suffer, and I need to stop now. I'll work again tomorrow. But for today, it's done. Even though my emotions tell me, just work a bit more. Maybe we feel excited traveling. Nothing bad with that in itself. But if that is what we enjoy, Satan will come to us and say, pursue traveling more and more. Travel more often. Travel to more distant countries. Spend more money on traveling. And he wants to speak to us through this lie until we neglect something more important. Until we say, you know what? I spend all this money on traveling. I have nothing left to tithe. I have nothing left to give to the poor and needy. And suddenly, we spend all this money and we can't afford the more important responsibilities any longer, like tithing and saving and all these things. Nothing wrong traveling, but we have to be aware Satan will try to speak to us to go overboard with these kind of hobbies until something more important suffers under it. Maybe we say, I feel loved when I'm close to people of the other gender. For me as a man, I feel great when I'm around other women and maybe younger women or something like that. Of course, I'm not doing anything bad, but maybe I feel good hanging out with them. And so my emotions might tell me, invest more in these kinds of relationships. Is that godly? No. First of all, it's not good for my marriage, for my family. Secondly, I have seen it so often, sooner or later someone is confused. When we have this kind of cross-gender relationships and they get too close, sooner or later someone will think it's more, but it's not more, and someone ends up being really hurt. So maybe my emotions are telling me, go there, and do more of that. But the Holy Spirit is telling me, don't do it. It's not good for you. It's not good for the people around you. Maybe we feel good taking drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, whatever it might be. But does that mean that we should listen to our emotions and go there and do more of that? Of course not. Why? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we should not destroy our body with things that feel good at the moment. Satan is constantly trying to lie to us through our emotions, telling us, pursue the things that make you happy. Same the other way around. We tend to resist emotions we don't like. And sometimes Satan is telling us, don't go there, even though God is telling us, go there. Example I just mentioned. Maybe we don't like a certain person in our church or in our small group. And what do our emotions tell us? Go to another church. Go to another small group. Don't deal with this annoying person. And what happens if we listen to that? We become church hoppers. Because sooner or later, we will find another annoying person will be there. And if we always try to hop around, we will never settle anywhere. We will never have really meaningful relationships, because after 3 months, 6 months, a year or so, we will be in the same spot again, and we will look for something else. True story, a friend of mine back in Shanghai, he dealt with exactly that. He was part of a small group. It was all good. It was all wonderful. Another person came, and he was just totally annoyed by this other person. And so he was crying out to God and saying, God, remove this person from the small group. I don't want to be with this person. He's ruining everything. Do something. You know what God said? He doesn't need you, but you need him. You need this annoying person around you because I'm training you to be patient, to be loving, to be kind to the people around you, especially those that you don't feel like doing it. Satan is trying to lie to us to stay away from these kind of people. God is telling us, love these people, be kind to these people, and don't withdraw from them. A few weeks ago, we talked about fear. Again, God calls us to take a risk in some form, like us moving to Munich or something like that. And Satan will always be there with fear. Satan will always tell us, what if? And if we listen to the what if, we will miss out on God's blessing. Whenever God asks us to take a risk, Satan will be right there, trying to give us fear, so that we don't follow God's plan. Maybe we don't like a certain book in the Bible. Maybe there are many commandments in there that we don't like. And then Satan is coming to us and saying, just read the other books. Just read the things in the Bible you like. Just read about God's love. Just read about God's forgiveness. The books about holiness or the passages about holiness, about dealing with sin and these kind of things, just skip over them. They're not important. How often have I met people who said, I only need the New Testament? Why? Because they don't like the aspect of God, his holiness, his wrath, his hatred for sin, and these kind of things. And because that is portrayed much more clearly in the Old Testament, they say, I don't want to read it. It's Satan's lie, because he doesn't want us to really grasp who God is in its fullness. Maybe we have a fight with a good friend. What do our emotions tell us? I'm never going to talk with you again. What is God telling us? Be reconciled. Love one another. Keep the unity. This is how Satan is working in you and in me. He tells us, pursue the emotions you like, avoid the emotions you don't like, and he's lying to us. Because very often, God has a different plan. God wants us to act not in line with the emotions we feel, but against the emotions, against what our emotions are trying to tell us. So what should we do instead of just acting on our emotions? First of all, we need to remember Satan has been disarmed. Satan can speak to us, he can tempt us through our emotions, but he has been disarmed and he cannot win that battle any longer. We choose whether we follow Jesus or we choose whether we give in to Satan, but he has no power to make us do anything, no matter how emotional we might feel. So Satan is lying to us through our emotions. How can we expose those lies? Well, as always, we should bring our emotions to God. Jesus is always there. He is always ready to hear us. And he's always ready to say when we come to respond. And we go to God and we say, God, I feel happy right now. Thanks for these emotions. What do you want me to do with my happiness? Go to God and say, God, I'm mad. I'm really frustrated. I'm really angry right now. I'm mad. This is horrible what's happening. How do you want me to act on the madness that I'm feeling right now? What do you want me to do with it? God, I feel disappointed. People really let me down right now. What should I do with this disappointment that I'm feeling? How should I relate to the people who have disappointed me? What do you want me to do? So instead of ignoring our emotions, instead of just suppressing them, instead of just pretending they are not there, accept them, bring them to God, tell God about the emotions we feel. He already knows, and he already felt them before. He knows what to do with them. Next step, analyze what our emotions are truly telling us. All our emotions tell us something. When we feel happy, it means that we have received something that is important to us. I'm happy because I won the lottery. What does that say? I love money. I'm happy because I'm having a child and the delivery went well and the child is healthy. What does that say? I love the child. So I'm happy two times. Both times I have received something. But one time it shows that there's something sinful inside of me. I love money. One time it shows it's something godly. I love my kid that God has given me. When we feel jealous, jealousy means that something we think belongs to us has been taken away from us. So, if I'm jealous because someone is making advances to my wife, I have every right to be jealous. I have every right to say, she's mine, and you cannot make advances towards her. But there are other things that I can be jealous of that point to something else. Maybe it's money or something like that, and my jealousy points towards something that's important to me, but it's actually not mine. And at that moment, I need to say, okay, this jealousy is pointing towards something sinful. This is not a good thing. When we feel hatred, it means that something we love has been violated. If someone were to abuse my kids, I would feel hatred. Not against the person, but against the acts that the person did. What does that mean? I love my kids. But sometimes hatred is just against the person, and it just means that it shows that I love something that I shouldn't love. So what is my hatred truly pointing to? What am I loving that I now feel this hatred? When I feel lonely, it means that I'm missing someone or something. Who or what am I truly missing? And if I feel lonely, maybe because I'm single, maybe it shows that I'm not really in line with God. Maybe I should find my satisfaction in my relationship with God and not look for a spouse or not look for a relationship, because God is more important, and if he gives me a spouse, great. But I should not feel lonely without a spouse, because my relationship with God is enough. So if we have these feelings of loneliness or something like that, what does it point to? All our emotions tell us something about what is important to us. All our emotions tell us about something we love, tell us about something that is precious to us, something that is important to us. And so when we feel emotions, one of the things we should go to God with is, why am I feeling emotional? Is it a godly emotion right now? Or does it point towards sin? Does it point towards money? Does it point towards worldly pleasures? Does it point towards something sinful, a sinful desire in me, whatever? What is my emotion truly pointing to right now? Is it godly or is it sinful? Emotions are real, but it makes a big difference if I feel happy because it's something godly, or if I feel happy because it's something sinful. If I feel hatred because it's something godly, or if I feel hatred because it's something sinful. We need to get to the bottom of things and find out, what do my emotions point to? And then, of course, we need to act on our emotions according to what our emotions say about our values and what God says. Imagine, thankfully that's not the case, but imagine I feel good watching porn. My emotions tell me, keep watching. Imagine then I go to God and I say, okay, God, I have these desires, I have these emotions, what do you want me to do? I'm pretty sure he does something like showing me Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the moment I bring these emotions to God, he will tell me, hey, there's a sinful desire inside of you. So don't go after these emotions that you like. This is not what he has for us. Example, I have a fight with my spouse. Probably it never happens to you guys, but it happens to us regularly. What do our emotions tell us? Stay away from each other. Our emotions tell us it's all her fault. She has to take the first step. I'm not going to give in. All these things. What does God say? Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So what should we do? Bring our emotions to God, and God will tell us how to deal with them. Back to the example, if I feel like working much more than 40 hours a week, maybe I pray, maybe I bring that desire to God, and what will God tell me? Ben, you put your trust in money. You don't put your trust in me. So what should I do in that case? Cut down, bring everything in balance. One last example, maybe I say, I don't like reading my Bible. It's hard, I don't get anything out of it. I bring that to God and I say, God, I really don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like reading your word. What's happening? And maybe God is telling us, well, you don't read my word because you don't want to hear what I'm saying to you. You want to live your own life. You don't want to be corrected. You don't want to deal with your sin. And if that is the case, then of course we need to say, "Ooh, I should not do what my emotions tell me. I need to do what God tells me instead." So these are just some examples. The point is, bring your emotions to God. Your excitement, your love, your fears, your hatred, whatever we feel, bring them to God. And ask God, what is your word saying? What are you saying? And what does it say about my values? What is it saying about what is really important to me, and why do I feel these emotions? And very often, then he will give us a very different perspective, and very often he will ask us to act against our emotions. Not always, of course, but very often we will realize Satan tried to lie to me through my emotions, but I cannot act on them. This is not what God wants me to do. What happens when we do this? What happens when we go to God? God will change our emotions. Remember, God has emotions as well. He is perfect. His emotions are perfect. And so when we bring our emotions to God, and they are not from Him, He will simply change our emotions as well. Let's say I'm angry because someone treated me wrongly. My emotions tell me to never talk with this person again. And then I bring it to God. What will He do? He is grieved when we are not in unity. He wants us to be reconciled. He wants us to live in unity. He wants us to forgive each other. And so when we bring our anger and our grief and our disappointment and all that to God, He will take all that. Jesus took all that on the cross. And He will give us a heart of compassion, a heart of love. He will give us a desire to forgive. And He will give us His emotions on the situation. And when He changes our emotions so that we have His emotions, then we can act on them. And then we can do what God asks us to do. If we have a difficult coworker, we feel like, okay, I want to fight back. I want to get him fired. I want to gossip. I want kind of him to be isolated so that he doesn't get any support and whatever kind of emotions we might have. And what is God's emotion in such a situation? Have compassion. He wants the person to repent. He wants the other person to grow, whether he's a Christian or not. He wants the other person to become a team player as well. And instead of us being mean to the person, God will give us a desire to say, hey, pray for the person. Try to correct the person. Try to help him do better. And He will put these kind of emotions on our hearts. And then when we have God's emotions, then we can act on the emotions that God has given us. So when we bring our emotions to God, and they are not from Him, He will change our emotions. And He will give us His emotions instead. And then we can act according to God's will. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Our job is to delight ourselves in the Lord, to bring everything to Him and to say, God, You take these emotions. You tell me what to do. You tell me how to respond to these emotions that I'm having right now. Then He will change our emotions. And then He will give us what we want. Why? Because after He changed our emotions, what we want is also what God wants. And then He will fulfill our desires. So whatever emotions we might go through, the ones we like, the ones we don't like, let's bring them to God. Let's talk with Him about it. Let's allow God to change our emotions on the situation. And then, once we know how God feels about the situation, we can act on it. Why am I here today? I don't feel like being here, to be honest. With my ear situation and everything, I just felt like I want to stay home. But what happened? My emotions tell me to stay home, but in my spirit I knew this is part of Satan's attack. Told you last week, that Satan is really trying to attack this church. He's trying to divide us. He's trying to keep us away from each other. And as I was praying, I so felt that God really wants to do something today and that I need to be here today. Did I feel like coming? Not at all. But God gave me the desire to be here. I believe God wants me to be here, and I believe that God wants me to talk to you about the things that I just shared. That's a practical application. I'm not saying I'm always get it right. It's just something that just happened in the last few hours. This is what we are talking about. Bringing our emotions to God, asking God, what do you want me to do with these emotions? Are they from you? Do you want me to change the emotions that I'm feeling right now? And allowing God to speak to us. And sometimes, there were also Sundays when I felt like this as well, and God told me, yeah, stay home, cancel the service. Yeah, if that's the case, then I do that. And sometimes, like today, God will tell me, no, go anyways. And that's why I'm here today. So in conclusion, emotions are real. Don't suppress your emotions. On the contrary, God wants to use the emotions that we feel, and he has a plan with them. Emotions are real, but emotions do not always tell us the truth. We will have the temptation to quickly act on our emotions, and to just, when we feel good, to go for it, when we feel bad, to run away from it. We have the tendency to say, okay, emotions tell me to act, let's do it. But that's not a godly way of dealing with emotions. Instead, let's bring our emotions to God. Let's allow God to speak to us what our emotions truly point to about our value system, if it's really a godly desire or if it's a sinful desire. We allow God to change our emotions. We act on what God is telling us about our emotions. And when God has spoken to us, then we can move forward according to what he has spoken, according to his will, and for the glory of the God we love. May we pray. God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving us emotions. Thank you for sharing your emotions with us. And thank you that you're always there for us. You don't reject us because we feel bad, or we think we feel bad. You don't reject us because there are certain emotions that maybe we don't like, or maybe they point towards a sinful desire or something like that. You don't reject us because of any of that, but you just love for us when we come to you with our emotions. But please help us to be wise with the way we deal with our emotions. Help us to honor you. Help us to not act quickly, to not act in anger or in happiness or anything, and just do something. But help us to really honor you in the way we respond to our emotions. Thank you, Jesus, that you disarmed Satan, that Satan has no power over us any longer. So please help us to use your power to bring glory to your name. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As usual, take a few moments and simply listen to what God wants to say to you.